You know, my kids, I love my kids dearly. You hear me talk about them a lot, but there's nothing greater than when they unsolicited, there's no agenda, they don't want anything, but they just tell you they love you. And that is just one of the best things that you could ever have as a father. The second best thing is when they do something without being asked or told. Yesterday, I was getting a cooler for Cameron, and I was putting some water bottles in there, and I went to the freezer and got a bag of ice and was putting it in the cooler. But when I did it, I knocked out an ice pack. And Drew, without being told, came up behind me and I dumped the bag and I turned to go and I knew I had to pick up the ice pack. And I turned around and Drew is already trying to reach it up into the freezer and put it back for me. And it just brings great joy. And I felt like as a father that you know, he honored me. And last Sunday, they did a nice Father's Day thing and they said, Happy Father's Day and all those wonderful things. But I told him, I said, look, every day is Father's Day. I said, you know, once a year we give cards and presents, but every day is Father's Day. The Bible says that you're to honor your father and to honor your mother. And it would be good for you if you do that. And so for you guys, every day is Father's Day and Mother's Day. And they agreed. So I can't wait to see what they got me today when I get home. But there's no way it can top last week's present. That was the best. But so anyway, the way they honor me is by telling me they love me, but also by doing little things like that where they don't have to be told. Just brought great joy to my heart to see that. This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, verses 8, and there's going to be a statement made or a challenge for us to make a statement about Christ, and it's a chance for us to honor the Father. Throughout this passage, if you go all the way back to verse 1, which we have over the past several weeks, there's a call here and a demand to honor the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So as we walk through this passage today, we're going to reflect back a little bit in the first point over what we've talked about over this past couple weeks. But let's begin reading in verse 8. The Bible says, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven." I'm sorry. "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about what you should, how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the boldness that Jesus called us to declare our love for you. We love you, Father, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. In confessing Jesus, we honor the Father. We honor the Father by being obedient to the Father and his commands. Now, we have to go back a few verses, and if you be reminded with me, we should respect God and honor God because God is an all-knowing God. There's nothing that God doesn't know. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows when a sparrow dies, and if a sparrow dies and he remembers that, how much more does he remember us and what will happen to us and the things that are going on in our life? So over the past couple weeks, we've been talking about that. We've been talking about honoring the Father and respecting the Father because he is the creator of the universe, because he is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's all places at all times. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased.'" I made this the first point. I know we talked about it over the past several weeks, but I made it the first point because I want us to see something this morning. There is great unity in the Trinity of God. There is great unity among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are working together. They're lifting each other up. The Father honors the Son by saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Son honors the Father by being obedient even to the point of death. And so the Holy Spirit of God, as we'll see in just a moment, works. All three of them are God at the same time, and all three of them honor each other. And it's important for us to understand that. It's important for us to see that. That the Father who honors the Son and the Son who honors the Father, And the Spirit who honors the Son, who honors the Father, it's beautiful, and it's God working in unison together as one, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we see that, it helps us to see that God is a God that can be honored. Jesus is the Son that can be honored. The Holy Spirit is to be honored and to be lifted up. And so we see that the Father is to be honored, and we can honor our Father. But secondly, I want us to see that we must honor the Son. In confessing Jesus, we do just that. Look what he says. He says, "And I tell everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God," or in essence, before my Father in heaven. Jesus was teaching them that it's more important to confess Christ than to do anything else in life. These disciples that were following Jesus and the religious leaders of the day, and Jesus is confronting the hypocrites, they were more worried about doing religious things and being obedient to the law and doing it before men to be seen by men. But Jesus is countering that by saying, look, no, it's not about what you're doing before men to be seen, but it's about confessing Christ before men. You should never be embarrassed about following Jesus. Some people say the day's coming, but I pray it doesn't. But my kids, they're not embarrassed by me yet. They want me there. Now, I might be naive, and that may change one day, but for the moment, I'm relishing in the fact that they want Dad there. They want me at their games. They want me to hang out with them. They want me around when their friends are around. They want to be around their mom and their dad. And so they're not embarrassed to be around us. And that's what Jesus is teaching these people and teaching these disciples. He's saying that before men, you should acknowledge me. You should confess me. Now, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal to a lot of us today. But in the first century, when these Jewish men and women would deny what they've been taught by their parents to follow Jesus, it meant being exiled from their family. When it meant standing before religious leaders or even governmental leaders and confessing Christ, it could mean their life. It could mean imprisonment. It could mean great danger. It could mean all kinds of things. And so we don't know today, and we don't completely understand what it means to confess Christ publicly. There's great ramifications. Some of you maybe have been mocked, made fun of by friends. Some of you maybe have had family give you a harder time for deciding to follow Jesus. But what matters here is the words of Christ. And what he says is that everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But then verse 9, he says, but the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And so we must be careful in living our life, that we live a life that honors the Son. In our confession, we must speak and brag about Jesus. We must be willing to talk about him. We must be willing to acknowledge that we follow him, that we serve him, and that we love him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. He says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, he says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And so the scriptures rally against with itself, and they challenge us to be confessing Christ. But that outward confession of our mouth must be translated in a transformation. You see, true confession of Christ is followed by a transformation in our life and the way that we're living our lives and the decisions and the choices and the actions that we live out each and every day of our life. True confession will be shown and proven through the transformation that is on display and takes place in our life, the total transformation. So look what is happening here. Jesus is teaching him. He's very clear. Notice with me what's not said here. Jesus says, if you confess me, I'll confess you. If you don't confess me, or if you deny me, I'll deny you. There's not another option. You're either confessing Christ or denying Christ. There's not a third option. Jesus doesn't say, okay, hey, look, just come to church a couple times a month and, you know, have a Bible, give an offering every once in a while, just kind of casually go through things and you'll be cool. Everything's good with you and me. We're good. There's no middle option. You're either fully following Jesus or you're denying Jesus. You're either willing to confess Christ and risk everything for him or deny him and be denied by him. There's not another option. So it makes us ask the question, if there's only two options, why are there seasons or times in our life when we live as if there is a third option? Why would we live in such a way trying to think that there's a third option or trying to declare that there's a third option when there's clearly not, when it's either for or against Jesus? There can't be nothing in the middle. Can't live that way. Can't believe that way. We can't half-heartedly follow Jesus. We can't sort of kind of commit to Jesus. He wants all of you or none of you. And by confessing and being transformed by him, you're giving him everything. Or by not, you're denying him and rejecting him. And you'll be denied by him and rejected by him as well. He goes on to say, the verse 10, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. There's been a lot of debate about what this means. The circles that I'm talking about, the debate takes place in, is not with scholars or people that study the scriptures, but people outside of the scriptures. They'll say, well, then is there a sin? There must be a sin that I can commit that God cannot forgive me of. It's blasphemy. Now, some people say, well, that's using God's name in vain. So if you've ever used God's name in vain, they'll say, God can never forgive you. That's not what this passage is teaching. What it's saying is if you reject God, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to reject God, you've blasphemed God, you've rejected him, that is the only sin that cannot be forgiven. Any other sin you've ever committed, there's a loving Father that is willing to forgive you. There's a loving Father that is willing to work with you. There's a willing Father that wants to see you repent. He wants to see you repent so much that he allowed Jesus to suffer and die on the cross for you. He wants you to turn from the lifestyle that you're living and turn to him so much that he did not stop his son from being crucified on a cross. God wants nothing more for you than change. Yes, sin has to be punished. Yeah, that's scary stuff. But in the midst of that fear and in the midst of that wrath, there's a beautiful love story of God allowing his son to reconcile us and him through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. And it calls for us to repent. And so when we declare that Jesus is our Savior, what we're saying is we're honoring the Son by saying what he did was sufficient for us. And we're trusting in it as our only hope. Thirdly, I want us to see that when we honor Christ, we honor the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is preparing them. Verse 11, he says, and when they bring you before the synagogues, now check this out. Come follow me. Confess me. Oh, and by the way, when they come and bring you before the synagogues and they're going to put you in jail or they're going to beat you or they're going to kill you, don't worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit of God will give you the words to speak. If we were honest with you this morning, hey, come be a part of High Tide. Come follow Jesus. It's going to cost you everything you have. You're going to have to surrender to Jesus. You're going to have to be willing to stand up and die for him. You're going to have to be willing to go wherever he calls you to go. You're going to have to be willing to do whatever he calls you to do. Probably not going to have as many people jump into that. But let's look at the scriptures and not what we've been told by churches over the years. Yes, God is a God of love. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God wants you in his family. But it's a great cost that he went to rescue you. And it demands your everything to follow him. It demands you surrendering to him. It demands you being willing to stand before him. Jesus didn't say, hey, come, join the follow my movement and sit in a comfortable seat with air conditioning and enjoy yourself week after week. He said, come and follow me. Confess me as Lord. And then he follows it up by saying, don't worry about what you're going to say when you get in trouble for it. Verse 11. Do not be anxious about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say. Verse 12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Let me back up for 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, a verse I read earlier. First half, but in your hearts, honor Christ as holy. Second half, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. The Holy Spirit as your teacher will prepare you and will give you the words you need to speak when you're challenged in what you believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that draws us to him. You know how I knew I needed to repent of my sins? Not because I figured it out and got smart one day, because the Spirit of God drew me to him. The Spirit of God opened my eyes to the truth in his word. The Spirit of God convicted me of my sin. The Spirit of God revealed to me my need for Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And the Holy Spirit of God allowed me to confess him as Lord and as Savior of my life. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Not that I looked at the church and said, hey, this is a good idea. It's important for my family. It's not that I looked at the church and said, hey, I ought to be there on Sunday. No, the Spirit of God drew me there and I could not be there. I had to be there. I had a desire to be there. That wasn't natural. That was supernatural. That was the power of God to transform and to change my life. Because a true confession of Christ will result in a total transformation. When you confess Christ and your life is transformed, you're honoring the Father, you're honoring the Son, and you're honoring the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for this time. As we've searched your word this morning, we've thought about the call to confess you before men because you're going to confess us before the angels in heaven. We thought about the ramifications of denying you before men and what an awful day that would be to be denied before the angels of God in heaven. Lord, we thank you that you went public by leaving heaven to come to earth. Lord, we thank you that you went public by being nailed naked on a public cross. Lord, we thank you that you went public by rising from the grave and visiting with the disciples afterwards. Lord, I pray that we would be so bold in our faith to stand up for you, to stand up and honor you by declaring and confessing our trust and our hope in you. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.